You're listening to the Very Serious Crafts podcast.
We're very serious crafters,
and we craft very serious crafts.
Very serious.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the Very Serious Crafts podcast. I'm Heidi from Hands Occupied.
This is Haley from Red Handled Scissors.
And I'm Molly from Wild Olive. Today we're talking about craft blogger problems, cutting counter conversations, knitter's graph paper, and more.
As always, we invite you to visit our website, veryseriouscrafts.com, to subscribe, find show notes, and other info. So, what have you ladies been up to lately?
Well, I am very pleased to say that the shawl that I talked about in episode 1 is finally blocked and wearable. Yay!
Yay!
Slow clap.
Thank you. And the only problem is that I was proudly showing it off, and my mom took one look at it, and she said, "Oh, that's fantastic. Do you think that you could make me one?" And that's a really nice thing, except I actually was planning on making her one. I already have the yarn for it, and I was, you know, just waiting until I have an open moment, and it won't be a surprise anymore because she specifically requested it.
Oh.
Oh, well.
Well, at least you already have the supplies. It's not like an out-of-nowhere request.
Yeah. I mean, and right down to I got the yarn. It was given to me. I traded. I bartered for it. Anyway, it's exactly nice. The kind of thing that she requested of me. So I guess I did good. How about you, Haley?
So I've had this project that has been on my schedule since about the time that spring started, and I think I probably mentioned it before. It's this hanging planter project that I really needed to do because I had a plant that needed to be hung in a window. And so I finally took the photos for that tutorial yesterday. Except that when I got everything all set up, my cat refused to get off of my work table. And I'm guessing, like, he's old. He's like 15 and a half. And so I think that my, my studio lights were hot. And so I feel like he was just sort of lounging in the glow of this warmth. And he just wouldn't get off the table. And every time I tried to move him, he would bite me.
Oh my.
And so at some point I just took a video because it got truly ridiculous. And in the video that I took, which I posted on Instagram and I will definitely link in the show notes, the cat basically scolded me on video. I was trying to move him, and he bit me, and I was trying to make peace with him, and he puts his paw on my hand to, like, still my hand so I couldn't try to move him anymore, and then he smacks my hand and, like, stomps away. And I just, at that point, I just gave up. Like, I let the work table belong to the cat for an hour or so because the cat won. That tutorial could wait. I don't know.
If you go to move my cat and she's really wanting to be where she is, the worst she does, or maybe the cutest thing she does, is she'll make this, like, no. It sounds like she's really saying no as she's meowing at you.
Oh, no. Yeah, Simon is just a cranky old man, and he doesn't bite, like bite hard. He just puts his mouth on you so you know he means business. It's like, oh, come on, cat, let's not.
The big thing I've been working on this week is also a big shoot that's taking multiple days, and I'm looking for every excuse to procrastinate. I very enjoyed basically commiserating asynchronously over Instagram story posts with Haley over the last 48
exactly.
hours.
It was like we were having a conversation.
Yeah. But we're weirdos and just have, like, disjointed conversations, all three of us, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, that really does happen.
Yeah. But, the thing is, with two dogs, as everyone on this podcast knows that I have two dogs, because you've heard them many times, and you probably will today, they can't get up on my table. My table's at standing height where I do my shoots, which I like because it's easier on my back and stuff, but they definitely can't get up there. And they also, my big dog Woodrow, his number one fear in life is something falling on his head. Specifically, he clearly is convinced that something metal is going to fall on him or near him. And, you know, I knit and crochet and often use metal tools, and it's easy to drop one.
Oh, no.
And he's usually, like, full asleep on the floor at my feet, being very sweet, sometimes even laying on my feet, keeping them warm in the winter. And then I drop a hook, and he, like, does not trust me for 10 days.
Oh!
I've definitely dropped things on the cat.
Yeah.
And then I feel really bad afterwards.
Yeah, he's a little buddy. But right now he's sleeping at my feet, being very, very nice. So,
well, that's good.
Hopefully that continues. Anyway, so speaking of craft tutorials, Haley, what do you got for us today for your first topic?
Well, I've been looking through my website and doing a little bit of spring cleaning. And doing that means I take a look at some really old stuff. And, you know, there's a good side and a bad side to that. You guys may not know, but my blog actually started out as a vegan food blog.
I did not know that.
So it did not stay a vegan food blog for very long. But, and those of you who are listening, you may actually know my blog from its other name, its previous name, which was The Zen of Making. And that's where that came from. So I was looking back through some of my earliest tutorials and sort of trying to figure out, I do this about once a year, like, am I going to delete the embarrassing old things or am I just going to leave it? I have thus far landed on I'm just going to leave it. But at some point, I'm fairly certain I'm going to just hit the delete button. So I was looking back at my first ever craft tutorial, and guys, it's so embarrassing. Like, the photos are awful. And it's, what is the name of it? It is a fabric scrap catnip mousy tutorial. And it was made, like, within a couple of months of starting my blog, and I had just finished making a bunch of tablecloths for my wedding. And, oh, those tablecloths are terribly made. A bunch of them are still kicking around and get used for picnics and stuff. And, oh, the seams. Oh, the thread tension. It's hideous. But these mousies are pretty clearly made from scraps of fabric from making these tablecloths. And I'm not even sure what I was thinking. Like, the photos are blurry. I clearly did not know how to sew. Like, why I thought I'd make a sewing tutorial at this point is deeply unclear. I mean, it's not that I didn't know how to sew. It's that I didn't have very much experience with, like, fine handwork. And so, while they are perfectly serviceable, they just aren't pretty. And I, for some reason, thought I should put, like, also fabric ears on them, and I had not yet learned that when you embroider things, you don't use all six strands of embroidery floss.
I will interject. You can use all six strands if you want to, like, really be bold, but maybe not for little details.
Oh, you can! But not on tiny, fine details on thin fabric.
No, not on that.
Is the thing. Like, you need to do it on purpose. If you're going to make that statement, you need to make that bold statement on purpose. And so, like, these are, like 3-inch mousies with faces that are, like, 1/2 inch by 1/2 inch, but are just thick with embroidery floss. And they're poorly done. And, I mean, honestly, the tutorial itself isn't that bad. I mean, if I made the project now, it would be totally serviceable. But it's just, oh, dear me. And so I keep thinking I'm going to get rid of these things because they're so embarrassing and they can't be doing anything for my SEO. I mean, they're just, they're not helping me get jobs. But also, it's kind of nice to look back and have a really strong idea of how far your skills have come, like just as a blogger, as a tutorial writer. And so, I don't know, I have very mixed feelings on this, but oh, it's deeply embarrassing and the photos are so bad, even though they're like half of them are like my now passed away pixel cat. Mm-hmm. It's ugh. Anyway. So, do you guys feel similarly when you're looking back at old stuff, or did you do a little better than I did?
This is relatable content.
Yes. So much.
Like, I remember when Heidi started blogging.
I don't remember the very early days of your blog, Heidi, or Heidi, because Heidi, that's your names combined. I don't have time to be saying both of your names. I'm just calling you Heidi from now on.
Heidi. That's new.
I like it. Yeah, so I don't remember the early days. I remember at one point, though, looking at your blog and being like, what the heck? Where did she come from? Like, she's got this super professional blog, and like, because I think it was shortly after I met you for the first time, and I thought, well, that's not fair. But anyway, I was looking at in the archives of my blog, same thing. I'm not sure. Should I keep it? Should I not? It seems kind of charming and fun to go back and look at it. But yes, definitely embarrassing.
I feel like I have, over the years, in various, like, reading of, like, how to blog, how to do the good blogging, like, tutorials that people like to post and, like, online courses that people share. I feel like I keep reading that you're supposed to go back through and, like, keep that link and that original post as is and reshoot the entire tutorial and rewrite it so it, like, matches your current, like, visual brand and voice, because then that URL address and all of its pins and links stay live. Like, it's an SEO thing. I mean, I think all three of us might agree that, like, we hate that S word. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
And, no, I definitely have had the same exact thought about my blog. And especially because, like, Haley started out as a vegan food blogger. Who knew? Not me, not Molly.
I mean, it was like a month.
Yeah.
And then there was too much drama. And I was like, or I could be a craft blogger, because that's, yes.
Like, I always did crafts. I always did crafts, but I was definitely general craft at first. And now that I'm so in the vein of knitting and crochet, and I finally realized that what I wanted to do the whole time was knit and crochet design, and now I'm there almost 8 years later, but I was way too intimidated at first about it. So for me, it's like, some of the stuff I have a lot of links to is completely off-brand. Hey, Storm.
That's like dog maracas.
Yeah. anyway, this is, like, so boring, but and very, like, inside baseball of craft blogging, but, like, I don't know. It has to be something that everyone can relate to, I would think, who's been blogging for more than 5 minutes.
All I'm saying is blurry photos of misshapen mousies.
Well, my favorite thing, because I just pulled this tutorial up on my computer while you were telling this story, Haley. My favorite thing is that it's Pixel Cat playing with the catnip toy, but it kind of looks like he or she is just face palming.
It does, doesn't it? Does. I'm looking at that photo right now, too. He's just like, oh, this is going to be so embarrassing later. He knew. Yeah. Oh. So speaking of traumas of content, I guess, Molly?
Yes, so I was recently at Joanne's buying more fabric because I can never have enough. It was a very specific purpose that I was there for. It was okay. I can justify that fabric purchase.
Uh-huh.
And I always find that when you go to the cutting counter, and I think this is true even like if you're going and buying yarn or other supplies, you can end up in really interesting conversations. But when you go to a cutting counter, what is the most, other than how much fabric do you need, what is the most common question you're going to be asked?
Well, yeah, how much fabric do you need and what are you going to make?
Yeah.
There it is. So, and I think at Joanne, they're actually told now, this is like a thing, that they're supposed to ask, what are you making? Which sometimes is a problem because it's very difficult to just always say, well, I'm not making anything, I just like this fabric.
Which is the answer most of the time.
And yeah, and I think that's totally fair. I don't have a problem with that, but they don't always understand, it seems. Yeah. I don't know.
Or I'm a craft blocker, I can't tell you.
There you go, that's another one. Because that, or I'm telling them and they're looking at me like, why are you making that? It's funny. But anyway. So the person next to me getting something cut is an older gentleman. And he has some beautiful sparkly trim. And the cutting person says, what are you making? And he says, oh, I'm decorating a cake with this. And the cutting lady says, oh, that's why you smell like cake. And then...
What?
Yes. And then it goes into a conversation where she basically is like, I mean, because it just like, it just smelled so yummy. And at this point, I can't keep to myself anymore. And I turn to the gentleman and I say, excuse me, sir, I'm pretty sure she just said that you smell yummy. She thinks you're yummy. And now it's getting a little bit weirder, but she's having to, you know, now my cutting lady goes, what's going on with you today? Earlier you were talking about making pajamas for goats and socks for chickens, and now this.
And this B word's knitting a hamster sweater.
That's right. It was so, well, my sister has suggested that I make a variety of clothing items for my guinea pigs. So that came up in the conversation too.
Yes,
so
it's, please.
It gets weirder.
Please, please. Yeah.
And the guy is trying to like keep it together. But you knew he was going to go back to the bakery where he works. And he was going to be telling everyone this story. Right. Because it was good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling everyone this story. But then it gets better because I'm still there. I had lots of fabric pieces to get cut. And a pair of ladies comes up to the same you smell yummy cutting lady. And they have...
Let's just call her Yums.
That's right.
Yeah. Is she going to listen to this?
I'd like to hope that these people find this podcast and hear this being shared with everyone because it was good. But anyway, so then these other people come up to the counter and they've got their fabric and they, how much fabric would you like? 2 yards. Okay, 2 yards, this very nice looking print. And she says, so what are you making? And they go, pockets. And everyone kind of turns and looks and they're like, you want 2 yards of fabric and you're making pockets. And she says, that seems like a lot of fabric. And they go, oh, well, we're making 6 pockets for jeans that have really short pockets in them. And I just still sat there looking like,
yes,
that's still a lot of fabric. And now I'm finding myself judging these two ladies who are just trying to buy some fabric in peace. And so they got their fabric, they left. And I said to everyone who was around, because it had to be said, what were they doing buying 2 yards of fabric for 6 pockets? I'm really concerned. How big are these pockets going to be?
Okay. Were they wearing JNCO pants at the time?
That was my next question. I lived through the 90s. I remember. You could just store things.
Yeah, like entire textbooks in the butt.
Oh, absolutely. Those were some of the more useful, and you could actually fit, like, an entire tripod down the inside of the legs if you wanted to, like, not have to carry around your photography equipment. It was great.
Well, now I feel bad for judging them when they clearly had a purpose in mind.
I mean, it might be the entire insides of those jeans.
Yeah.
It could
Can
be.
You imagine the amazing things you could do with pockets that big?
They call them Poppins pockets. Because you just stick your hand in and it just keeps going.
Oh, that was terrible. But also, yes, I want one of those bags.
Yeah.
It would just make packing, especially for crafting related travel, so much easier. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Poppins pockets. Huh.
I mean, maybe they just wanted extra fabric.
This is true. I mean, I always buy a little bit of extra. It felt like a really lot of fabric. But I wish them the best.
I'd usually buy 2 yards of everything.
Yeah, and because I sew small.
Almost always.
Yeah, I sew small, so I usually am buying like a quarter yard or a half yard of something, but.
Oh, that makes sense, because I almost always, like, 2 yards and I get nervous. Like, 3 yards is usually the minimum that I get for anything, because what if I want to make a full dress of this print?
That's true.
I don't know. You don't know. Like, anything could happen here.
Poppins pockets. Dresses.
Poppins pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to move on.
Oh, man.
Heidi. Heidi, what you got going on?
Not Poppins pockets. Sorry, I like saying that phrase a lot.
Well, I'm just imagining now replacing all of my jeans pockets. Like, I wear little boys' jeans, so they have full-size pockets. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, I will put on women's jeans and realize that the pockets are, like, 3 inches long and can't hold anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would absolutely replace all the pockets in my jeans. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes complete sense. Well, maybe not 2 yards sense, maybe. But...
Well, and they were replacing the fabric pockets with cute fabric, which I think is a fun detail to add into your clothes, so... There you go.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I hope they reinforce that.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Heidi. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent.
So I was going to talk about graph paper.
I love graph paper. I'm not even joking.
Well, so this will really tickle your fancy then, Haley.
Oh. I'm prepared.
So every fall... And every spring, I host a knit-along in the fall and a crochet-along in the spring. And it's the read-along knit-along and the read-along crochet-along. So right now, I am deep in the design woods of my fall read-along knit-along design because I'm trying to get it done by the end of the current month, which is June, so that I can get it out to my testers and have it all tested and tech-edited in time for our fall kickoff for our read-along knit-along.
How responsible of you.
Well, you have to. This is a full Afghan size design, so it's 10 skeins of yarn.
All right, fair enough. But still, I'm impressed with how disciplined you are.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You have to be, otherwise you go crazy because you just keep being like, oh, it's going to be another 6 weeks till this design comes out, Instagram. Stay tuned. Keep staying tuned, because the design process, as you guys know, takes forever.
4 years later, yeah. Stay tuned.
Choo-choo! Okay, we don't need train puns, as well as Poppins pockets in this episode.
Get off that train! This is not your stop. Oh, wait. That was several mixed things. Carry on.
All right, so what's different about this design for this fall read-along knit-along is that instead of being worked in several pieces that are then seamed together, this is going to be one giant piece of knitting. So kind of envision a scarf and then clicking and dragging the corner of it until it's 3 feet by 4 feet long.
Right.
And it's in the design, it's inspired by a landscape, so it's not a consistent repeat or striping pattern or something throughout. It's every row is different. So,
well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I might be a maniac. We'll find out soon.
Your testers will tell you.
They will. So the grid that I'm working on for the chart is currently 126 stitches wide by, it's going to be either 288 or 300 and 6 stitches long. I've had to break it up into 10 pieces to get my software to render this. Because I'm a maniac. I don't know why I do this to myself, but I was telling a visual artist friend of mine, like, it's a lot of work and a lot of math, but it's so I can make the finished art look like the picture in my head. And I don't want to, like, truncate the idea just because it'd be easier to have the pattern be less complicated to put together. Am I nuts? I don't know. But so where the graph paper comes in here is that I've swatched extensively my gauge swatch that I've tested, and I'm not throwing shade at you, Molly, I promise. The swatch is like, oh gosh, it's like 12 inches by 18 inches, and I've blocked it. And
that's a big swatch.
It is, because it involves intarsia, and I really wanted to make sure.
That's like wearable. Yeah. Like a wearable bodice.
It's like one of those dickies. It's like a dicky. That's how big it is. Sorry. Too much caffeine.
What's it like, Heidi?
A dicky. Don't you know what that is?
Yes, I know what a dicky is.
Yeah. We all know what it is.
I'm from the Midwest.
That's right.
Which I know doesn't mean anything, but I feel like Midwestern moms were likely to make you wear them in, like, middle school.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, this swatch, I have fully blocked this 12 by 18 inch swatch because I really wanted to get a true gauge, like, far away from the edge or the cast on or bind off, because I really needed to know what rate I was knitting at for this whole thing, because I need to calculate just how long each skein will work, since all of the, like, color increases and decreases are working at varying rates and interacting with each other.
Right.
So, P.S. This is why people buy knitting patterns, because we do all this work ahead of time. So enjoy that, like, yes. $5 to $10 pattern when you complain about how expensive it is. Anyway.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I've got my gauge, and I calculated that in my software I need each cell of my graph to be 43 by 25 pixels to get the 1.72 to 1 ratio each of my stitches is. So, like, when you buy...
I love this.
Yeah, when you work with regular graph paper, it's traditionally a 1 to 1 ratio, but almost no stitch is a 1 to 1 ratio. You have to calculate how tall your rows are and how wide your stitches are. And I even did a second swatch in stockinette, and I was getting a full row difference in stockinette versus garter stitch. I was getting 5 rows per inch in stockinette and 6 in garter.
That makes sense.
So my stitches are very wide and short. But for my beautiful picture to happen, I had to know this aspect ratio. Anyway, the point I am getting to here in this caffeine-addled digression is that if you want to experiment with doing your, like, coming up with your own knitting charts, don't first just find math graph paper that you would get online or in a notebook. If you're looking for graph paper for yourself, you don't have to do all the intricate math that I'm doing for this specific design, but you can Google knitter's graph paper, and the standard aspect ratio for that is like 4-to-5 ratio. So like an 8-by-10 picture would be that aspect ratio. And you can do that, and then basically you can come up with your own charts just by coloring without having to do all that math. So if you've got like a plain pullover sweater and all stockinette, you could add an intarsia design right on the front if you wanted to, just by coloring in like you would color a coloring book. So anyway, I've just been very stuck inside my own head on this knitting math for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I just was like, I feel like people don't know what knitter's graph paper is, and really should, because it might be nerdy, but it's also, like, just a really important, like, pro tip. And that's all.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, even most, like, even if you're looking at tutorials for, like, adding designs to sweaters in duplicate stitch or something like that, even if you're not comfortable dropping it into your to a pattern while you're knitting, but you want to update a sweater that either you already made or a store-bought sweater, most of those tutorials and such are going to be using graphs that are not in the right ratio. Mm-hmm. And that can really change the look of what you're doing. It doesn't matter for something small or with less detail. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing something big and intricate, it's a really good idea to get to use knitter's graph paper instead of just sticking with, like, your regular square grid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and for those of you who are wondering what software I use, the like, standard software for knit designers is called Stitch Mastery. It's, like, the kind of standard software for making knitting charts, if anyone wants to try that. There's also Chartminder. I'll put both of these links in the show notes for this episode. But there's also Chartminder if you wanted to try a free online one, if you wanted to try charts for yourself for knitting or crochet.
Well,
so there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to check those out myself because I have just sort of started dipping my toe into a little bit of knit and crochet design, just a little bit at a time. So we'll see how this goes.
That's exciting. I saw a little bit on your Instagram and it looks nice.
Well, I will, as I get a little bit farther, I will talk more about it here, I'm sure. So I think it's going to be fun though. Yeah. I'm already enjoying it. So that's all that matters, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, and one last thing that I was going to mention was I do have a hashtag I use on my Instagram sometimes. It's stop, swatch, and block it.
I like it.
I like to use that whenever I'm posting about, like, design stuff because that amuses me.
I like it.
And it also, like, if you'd like to get it right on a big scale, that's... Honestly, you won't be sorry that you spent that time.
And, like, if you have any sort of RSI, like, carpal tunnel tendonitis, like, just go ahead and do the math and save your body for actually being able to make something instead of making something and being like, wow, I just knitted 306 rows and I can't feel my thumbs, but now I have to tear this all out because I screwed it up. Like, work smarter, not
I've
harder.
Never done that before.
Yeah. I mean, and it's taken me years of design to, like, design being a designer to be smart enough to design in this way. But I am team graph paper and team doing all the math.
But as I told Haley earlier this week, I just usually try to rely on some sort of knitting incantation. Was that what I said?
It was knitting incantation.
The knitting math.
Which is my favorite idea.
The knitting math is still a little, like... scary to me, so when I see it actually played out, I'm like, oh, well, that made a lot of sense. That seemed a lot easier than what I would have been trying.
I can just imagine you, like, sitting at a table with everything pinned and spread out, just, I don't know, nonsense words flying.
A pentagram on the ground.
Well, yeah, probably not.
Knitting needles, honestly.
Oh, yes.
But that's the only way to really get the knitting gods to listen.
I'm a good Christian girl. I don't do any pentagons.
Pentagons?
See, I mean, I'm not even allowed to say it.
I feel like, honestly, that said it all right there.
Oh, man.
No, I do pentagons. But only a little bit in English paper piecing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Although I like hexagons significantly better than pentagons.
Way better. Way better. Yeah. Anyway, we're heading down a whole other topic now.
Oh my goodness. That's so funny.
So speaking of a whole different topic and also things that we as craft bloggers do, like 1,037,000 tons of math.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about what I like to call craft blogger problems?
Absolutely.
Is that a hashtag?
I mean, I definitely have
used that
hashtag.
Yeah, it has to be.
I mean, I guess we could throw a VSC in front of it if we want to. If we would like the audience to play along, actually do play along if you happen to be a craft blogger, we would love to just hashtag it very serious crafts and tell us about your craft blogger problems. Mm-hmm. So I've made a short list of my own personal craft blogger problems, and you know how I like to make lists. So I think that some of my most commonly occurring ones are avoiding starting a project for something I actually need, like a thing for me, because it would be a waste not to put it on my blog. But if I have to blog about it, then I have to take the photos and edit the photos and write the post. And now it's become this huge thing. And now I'm never going to make it. Instead of spending like the 15 minutes to make the thing that I needed, it's now become this whole production.
Yeah, I have definitely done that same thing before.
And I just today am editing photos on a project that is that very thing. Mm-hmm. But that hanging planter is in the window now.
Yay!
But. And my other favorite thing to do, aside from avoiding making things that are actually for me, is falling in love with a totally not work project exactly when I have a deadline. Mm-hmm. A knitting or crochet project that I didn't design has never, ever looked so good than about 6 p.m. the night before. I have, like, a major, major deadline.
Yeah. But I have had that read-along, knit-along design on my plate for a while. And I specifically keep, like, I kept ignoring it and ignoring it because I was like, oh, I've got this to do or this to do. Or I've got to, like, decide that I love latch hook and spend all of my time that I should be asleep or doing other work latch hooking.
Well, you did write a tutorial, at least.
True. I did eventually do that. But, yeah. Relatable content once again, Haley.
It's true. Well, another thing that Heidi specifically can relate to, because I know she did this week, because I was also doing this with her, is... Heidi and I have been working on basically an editorial calendar and getting everything set up for it for both our own sites and the Very Serious Crafts site. And the sheer amount of work, like, for designing templates to make, like, future tasks easier that I know Heidi has put in this week is sort of amazing for a thing that literally no one but us will ever know happened.
It's true. I think I've spent a net of, it has to be like 36 to 48 hours at this point, trying to become more efficient and then being like, I've got to do this other thing.
That's right.
And it's not like you can take a cute Instagram story being like, wow, I'm sitting here making my calendar color coordinated. Like, no one wants to watch that.
I don't know. Color coordinated might get people's attention.
I mean, okay, fine. But also, I would just like the world to know, like, I feel like everyone assumes that we, as professional craft bloggers, sit around and make things all day. And that would be a logical assumption to make. Except that actually about 75% of the time is writing or editing photos or making spreadsheets. And the actual making of things takes up very little time.
Well, and in this, like, social media world we're in, especially with, like, Instagram stories and things like that, I mean, there's so much pressure to be on all of that all day, like, inviting people to the process, you know? And
it's, like, you want to see the process, lady? Yeah. Have a look at my spreadsheet.
Look at my color coordinated calendar.
I mean, you wanted to see the process.
But all you get is this derpy voice I keep doing for no good reason.
What? Heidi, to that end, there are times, though, where because of that pressure, I find myself, I mean, this is a whole other craft blogger problem, is coming up with something to show that really has nothing to do with anything that you're actually doing. But
mm-hmm. Oh my
gosh,
yes.
The pressure to have a picture of something, I don't want to, like, burst anyone's magical crafty bubble here, but, like, I post pictures of stuff all the time that it has nothing to do. I haven't picked up that project in weeks, but here's a picture of the current status of it, you know, because I gotta have something.
Oh yes, same.
Terrible.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
Or something pretty. I will take something, a pretty, my favorite thing to do is pull out a bunch of fabric swatches and or a bunch of piles of fabric and a pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There is no way I'm even opening that pattern today. Or even in the next month, probably.
Yeah.
But help me pick out the fabric, guys.
Well, and then when you're looking, and then when you do yarn stuff, I feel like it's like, oh, cool, I made another color combination. Doesn't this, like, objectively contrast color look super nice? But it's still just yarn. And so it's like, how do I make this same thing that I photograph all the time interesting?
Yeah.
I just need to I need to come up with a fake project and gaslight my entire social media following into thinking that I'm designing Poppins Pockets or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Please do it.
Poppins Pockets.
I'll just come up, that'll be my new term for like the fake project.
What you making, Heidi? Oh, Poppins Pockets.
Also, lest I forget this, because I will forget otherwise, Haley, when you said that everyone assumes that you sit around and make things all day, that that's what it is to be a craft blogger, my confession is that there are times when I forget that myself, where I get so caught up in, yes, I've got all these things to make, and then I look at my actual work that that needs to get done, and it's, I've done all the fun work ahead of time, and I've saved all the work that I loathe until the end, and then I'm going, what? This is the worst job ever. Why am I doing this? Well, it's just because I pasted out wrong.
You front-loaded the fun stuff.
I thought that all I did all day was make things.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's funny that I feel like a lot of people that feel bad that they're not doing that because they think everybody else is doing that. Nobody's doing that. Yeah. Everybody is doing exactly what you're doing, which is failing to write an intro paragraph 30 times in a row. Like, that is what we're all doing. Yeah. And yes, we have like bursts of inspiration, but honestly, people who craft as a hobby, not as their job, make so much more stuff than we do and spend so much more time actually, like, generating interesting content on, like, social media and stuff because they really are doing all those projects all the time. Yeah. And we're just, it's a lot slower to be generating your own.
Yeah. So one of my craft blogger problems is maybe a little bit lighter in topic than some of the things related to spreadsheets and all of those less exciting elements of being a craft blogger. But
yes.
When you create things for blog posts or even for books or magazines and so on, you are creating a fair number of items, and often they're things that you don't actually need. They're not things that you've made because you need them. They're not things you need for to make as a gift. Like, when people are crafting for themselves as a hobby, it's usually they're making something they want to make and have or to give away. Right. Occasionally, you'll make something just because you want to enjoy the process of it. And I'm all for that. But I end up with so much stuff around here. And it's a thing that I've made. And it feels like I should honor it in some way, but I mean,
yep. Like,
what am I gonna do with all these things? I just, I'm like,
oh yes,
so many things.
Yeah,
I have a hula hoop behind my kitchen table that has a bunch of screws in it because I made it into like a giant hula hoop. I made it into a loom for an edition of Hand Woven Magazine. I did a kid's tutorial for hand weaving rugs. I spent so much time making that hula hoop loom that I can't justify getting rid of it. But what in the world am I going to do with a giant hula hoop loom?
Yeah.
And so it's been sitting behind my kitchen table for like 2 years. Because I can't quite get rid of it. Because the moment I get rid of it, I'm going to be like, I know, giant pot holder.
But, well, now you have your next blog post planned out.
I mean, mean, it would be like a trivet the size of a dining room table.
Like, somebody might... if you make paella?
Somebody might need that.
Actually... But doesn't that come, like, on its own
little... Well, the whole thing needs a giant trivet. Maybe.
Yeah.
I've never eaten paella.
I think it comes with in a stand.
Ask Rick Bayless.
I don't think someone's holding it up. But anyway, I mean, yeah, like, you could make a rug, sure. But it's just, it's a deeply impractical thing that I just can't get rid of. Because I spent so much time creating this giant loom.
Yeah.
I've talked about these tubs and tubs of knitting items. Yeah, I think it was in the last episode's Train of Shame about that baby blanket. Ugh, that doesn't need to come up again. The point here is that I've been designing for long enough now that I have, like, more stuff than I need. But then I'm like, oh, but what if I teach a workshop and need this shawl that has this custom pineapple motif stitch that I designed? And
right.
Like, what if I need it for a thing? But I have seen a couple other designers who are pretty well established. They do, like, a de-stash sale. So they just sell the handmade item by, like, the actual, like, famous knit designer person who, like, designs for every interweave. And they're just like, I'm just going to sell this for, like, what it's worth. And people will buy it. So I think at some point I might do something like that. Probably won't make as much as some of these designers I'm thinking of in particular.
Right.
But it's a finished object, and I get asked all the time if, like, oh, do you sell that t-shirt yarn crochet tote that you have the tutorial for? Like, no, girlfriend. That's why there's a tutorial for it.
No. For sure don't have time to make that. For sure don't.
Also, that one's free, so, like, go forth.
That's right.
That's true. I have an entire box of unpublished crochet designs from the crochet book I wrote that didn't get picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Those designs, I mean, they weren't ever, they never went out to testers or anything. So I'm sort of terrified to even think about what that notebook must look like. And if I could even piece together the designs. But I have an entire book's worth of, like, nice-looking, fully-made objects mm-hmm. with patterns that have never been published. And am I ever going to do anything with them? I mean, in theory. But they've been sitting in a box on my shelf for also years.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose there are...
As we all shake our heads. Yeah.
And I'm assuming that
oh, yeah. people could add... Listeners can't see that.
People could add many more craft blogger problems to the list. So as you said, I would say, if you are a craft blogger and you're listening to this, we would love to hear your craft blogger problems.
Or podcaster problems. I know we have some podcaster friends who listen.
That's true.
So tell us your podcaster problems, too, because I'm sure they exist.
If we haven't run into those...
We're too new.
If we haven't run into those problems yet, there's a chance that we will. So help us be prepared.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is only episode 7, so I'm sure...
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
But it's also already episode 7.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. How did that happen so fast?
I feel like I've been hanging out talking to you guys about making stuff for a very long time, but also a very short time.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Hmm. All right.
Indeed. Well.
And we all just sit here looking at each other.
Well, I was just going to say, pop in pockets.
All right.
Oh,
and that's the end of the episode.
And on that note...
Bye, everybody.
Exactly. I think it's time to make... Heidi needs a nap. I need a snack. Anyway, have a good rest of your day, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Bye.
Loved this episode of the Very Serious Crafts podcast? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated.